Will you turn your hearts to God with me in prayer as I pray a prayer for illumination for us this morning? Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you with grateful hearts. We thank you that you are a God of love and grace, and that you are a God of revelation, a God whose desire it is to be known so that we might know of your love and your presence in our lives. We thank you for the gift of Holy Scripture and the way that you speak to us so powerfully through the words of this good book. We pray, O God, that as we turn now to your word to us in Scripture, that you would send your Holy Spirit, that in these words and in the words that I have prepared and in the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts, we would hear you speaking to us, O God, with a living word, a word by which we would come to better understand you and the salvation that you have given us and the lives that you have called us to live. So all of this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from Luke chapter 1. Listen now for God's holy word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he, Gabriel, came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her for whom it was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Twice in our passage for this morning and several other times in and throughout the Christmas story, we hear about King David. In our passage for today, the Gospel of Luke connects Mary's identity, the mother of Jesus, with the identity of King David. The narrator's voice in the Gospel tells us that Mary was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and he was from the house of David. Then, just a few verses later, the angel Gabriel, again, tells us that the angel Gabriel brings up the king of Israel, this former king of Israel, King David. Gabriel tells Mary that God will give the throne of David to her son, to Jesus. And we know that soon Mary and Joseph will travel to Bethlehem, which is the ancestral home of David, and there Jesus will be born. Obviously, this connection to King David was and is important. But why? What is wrapped up in this connection between Jesus and his earthly and kingly ancestor, David? What relevance does it have for us? The answer to this question lies in our questions about God's faithfulness to God's promises. When God first established God's people in the Promised Land, centuries before Jesus' birth, God made a special promise to King David. David had had the idea of building God a temple. David wanted God to have an earthly home that suited God's glory. So David had essentially asked God's permission that David would be allowed to build God a house. And in response to David's offer or David's request to build God a house, God explained to David how things really worked. God told David that it was God who made and established houses. And then God made a remarkable promise. God made a promise that would reverberate through our scriptures over and over again. God promised King David that his house, his line, his throne, his heirs and ancestors, they would rule over God's people forever. David and God's people, when they heard this promise, they were thrilled. David had been a good and a powerful king. He had united together the 12 unruly tribes of God's people into one kingdom. David had conquered the people's enemies. Under David's rule, there had flourished a time of peace and security and prosperity. And now, God was promising that David's throne would always rule over God's people. Not just this decade, not just this century, but in eternity. In their minds, God's people envisioned an eternal existence of the earthly kingdom in which they were living. The good times would never end. The feeling of peace and security would go on forever. Well, of course, it was only a few generations into David's heirs, into his lineage, when God's people began to question the reliability of God's promises. Only a few generations after David's time, problems arose that called into question God's faithfulness to God's promises. David's heirs were not of the same caliber as King David. And under their rule, God's people fell deeper and deeper into sinfulness. Only a few generations after David's time, his kingdom, which was supposed to be eternal, became divided. The 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes split up. And suddenly, the kingdom that was supposed to last forever was torn in two. There were 2 kings, 2 thrones, 2 kingdoms. Then things got worse. Eventually, those 2 separate kingdoms, each in their own time, were conquered and defeated and destroyed. Not only was King David's kingdom divided, but now it was not in existence at all. And understandably, God's people wondered. They wondered about God's faithfulness to God's promises. God's people were wondering what kind of God they were worshiping and serving. People wondered if their God was true to God's word, true to God's promises. God's people wondered if their God could be trusted. God's people wondered if perhaps their sins and the evil and the wickedness of the world had gotten so out of hand that maybe humanity had so broken their end of the contract with God that God perhaps had rightfully retracted God's promises, retracted God's commitments. For hundreds of years, there was not a king from the house of David ruling over God's people. And so, for hundreds of years, people wondered. They wondered what to make of God's faithfulness to God's promises. This wondering continued right up to the time of Jesus' birth. Well, like the people before and during Jesus' time, we too are people who wonder. We wonder about God. We wonder about the promises that we have been taught that God has made to us. We wonder if God is really a good shepherd to us. We wonder if God is really leading us and guiding us, even now as we travel through this valley of the shadow of death. We wonder if God is really true to God's promises, that God will never leave us nor forsake us on this difficult journey. We wonder if God will really be with us, even to the end of the age. We wonder if God will really heal up our broken hearts. Does God know how crushed our broken hearts have become? We wonder if God will rescue us from our enemies. We wonder if God will really give us one day that promised experience of eternal peace and joy without sorrow or sadness or tears. We wonder if we will know a joyful reunion with our loved ones who have gone on before us. There are so many good promises from Scripture which we have been taught to hold in our hearts. So many promises which we have been commanded to hope in and in which to put our trust. And at times, we wonder. We wonder if God will really come through. We wonder if God is reliable and faithful and committed to keeping those promises. At times, we wonder if perhaps we don't deserve God's faithfulness. At times, we wonder if our persistent sinfulness has has caused God to rescind and to retract God's promises from us. At times we wonder if perhaps God would be justified in deciding to turn away from us and to look for other servants, other people who wouldn't be so foolish or so backwards or so sinful or so stiff-necked or so hard-hearted. At times we wonder if perhaps God's promises have rightly been revoked or voided by our sins. And other times we look at the sin and the backwardness of the world all around us beyond our own hearts. And we wonder if perhaps God has seen all of this evil, and we wonder if God has given up on our world. Well, people of God, this same wondering of the human heart, this was the condition of the heart of Mary, and the heart of Joseph, and the heart of the shepherds, and the heart of all of God's people, when the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary to reveal the news that he was sent to reveal. This was the condition of the heart of Mary and all of God's people when Christ Jesus was born into God's beloved world, born into the line of King David, born so that he, Jesus, could live and die and rise again and ascend to God's right hand, to be seated on the throne of heaven, to be anointed by God, to rule for all eternity, to rule and to be in the place of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true heir of King David and the true heir and fulfillment of God's promises. People of God, at times we wonder about God's faithfulness. At times we wonder if God will be true to God's promises to us. And this morning, through the story of Gabriel announcing to Mary that she would have a child, God reminds us that God is a God who keeps God's promises. The story of Christmas, the story of Christ's birth into our world, is the story of God's loving faithfulness to God's eternal promises. In God's love, God has promised to be committed and devoted to us, even despite our sins and the brokenness of this world. The birth of Christ Jesus as the true heir of King David, the true heir of God's promises, God reveals to us in his birth the truth of God's loving faithfulness. At times we may wonder. At times we may wonder if God's promises are good and true. At times we may wonder if God could really be faithful to us as unfaithful as we are. And the story of Christ's birth, it is God's confirmation to us that God is faithful. As the psalmist proclaimed in Psalm 89, listen to these prophetic words from God. Forever, God says, forever I will keep my steadfast love for David, and my covenant with him will stand firm. I will establish his line forever and his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my ordinances, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with scourges. But I will not remove my steadfast love from him or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His line shall continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It shall be established forever like the moon, an enduring witness in the skies. People of God, on this Sunday before Christmas, let us put our trust in God's faithfulness. Thanks be to God.